Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, welcoming you to our exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease and heart failure and everything related to that in today's ever-changing world. You need to hang on to your seats today because I'm extremely honored to have as my special guest an amazing young leader, and I mean leader in the medical and global communities, Lulu Echeverry. Lulu graduated from Hofstra University, where she played Division I collegiate soccer and graduated with her degree in exercise physiology. Lulu went on to play professional soccer in the United States Professional Soccer League with the Boston Breakers before returning to school, where she earned her master's degree in exercise physiology at Adelphi University. Lulu then went on to begin her work at NYU Langone Health as a cardiac rehabilitation specialist. Lulu was certified as a cardiac rehabilitation professional through the AACVPR organization. And for the past 4.5 years, she's been working with patients of all different populations and helping these individuals get back to living healthy and sustainable lives. And she has done that all by the age of 27 years old. You better get cracking, people. Lulu, welcome to the Heart of the Matter.
That is such a great introduction, Gary. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor for me to be able to speak with you because, you know, I've had the privilege to see a little bit of your journey, you know, from the get-go in a way. And yeah, like I said, thank you again. This is an honor, and I hope I can add as much value to anybody who's listening, whether it's exercise physiologists or, you know, heart patients, people going through stuff. And that's all we can do, right, is continue to add value to those who need it and who are seeking it, and just build a bigger and better community that's more tight-knit, you know?
Yeah, and we're going to touch on all of those things, especially the history that we have in a minute. But before I do that, I want to just take everybody back to your childhood. Where is your family originally from, and what was your childhood like?
That's a wonderful question and a great question to start with. I was born in Cali, Colombia. So Colombia, you know, at the time in the early 90s was known for just a lot of dispute between the country itself with the drug wars and everything like that. And so thank God my parents got us out by 1999. And, you know, at that point, things were slowing down in a way and at the same time picking up with the drug wars in Colombia. So ever since we landed here, you know, it was a run to make this quote unquote American dream come to fruition. And it hasn't been easy, but it's been such a blessing, because if I wasn't here in this country, I literally would not be able to do a quarter of the things that I've done, like you said before, at 27 years old. It's been a journey so far, and I hope that I can continue to inspire people that are also immigrants in this country, and, you know, can let them know that it can happen for them as well if they continue to work hard.
Isn't that amazing? And so many lessons learned at such a young age. That's unbelievable. I sort of knew of you from high school days. Admittedly, having two sons, I didn't know a lot about girl sports and girl soccer as much as I did boys, of course. And I'll let the cat out of the bag, because Lulu is the same age as my younger son, Jesse. And so they sort of grew up together in the same school. So we know a lot of the same people, and we have, you know, some of the same close friends. So it makes it this more of a privilege. And it's not the only reason that we're having this discussion. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. I want to just go, when you get to college at this point in your life, where you began to discover your desire to want to help people improve their health, their fitness, and their overall wellness, right? Please share a little bit about that part of the journey with us.
Absolutely. When you first get to college, and I'll be honest, a lot of my focus initially was to get a scholarship from the soccer world to be able to go to college. And that was a blessing within itself, because I did. And so once you get into college and you start your career in the soccer world, you kind of, in a way, have to start also thinking, obviously, about what am I doing with my life academically? Because both go hand in hand. If you're an athlete out there and you're looking to get recruited by obviously any sort of university or college, the academic side is 1,000,000% important, even more important than the sports, because long term, that is going to be what you're most likely going to go into. So I was grateful to have good academics enough to get into Hofstra University, which is an amazing private university. So once I was there, I was like, okay, well, now I'm playing soccer. I'm doing what I love. What am I going to study? Because in the first year, I went in undeclared. I did not know honestly what I wanted to do. I had no clue what was out there. You know, my parents both work in the labor world, working two or three jobs each. And so I wanted to do things differently, and I wanted to be able to be efficient and effective in this world. So for me, I just started to think, okay, well, what are the things that I love? What are the things that I'm good at? What can I develop into? And that's when I started to realize I've been in the health and fitness world with soccer for a bunch of years, ever since I was walking. And I've done a lot of my own training, once again, because I couldn't afford personal training. I couldn't afford personal private trainers to train me for soccer either. So I did a lot of my own work. I did a lot of my own research with finding ways to, you know, get better myself. So I said, I want to be able to give this gift to other people as well and help them in their health and fitness and overall wellness. Along the way with the wellness, It was my freshman year. And I saw one of my friends who was on the volleyball team studying a book of anatomy. And I was like, hey, like, what are you studying? And she said to me, oh, I'm actually studying exercise physiology and exercise science. And I was like, what is that? All I heard was exercise. And the other part didn't matter. So she said, you know, go see this advisor and she'll help you out and see if you like what this is. I had no idea where this would lead me, to be very honest. But little by little, I learned how amazing it could be and how many different areas I can go into. So from there, it was a matter of just saying, wow, I can make something of myself with this. I can help people. I can personally live a healthy life as well. And then from there, things just continued to escalate into not just undergraduate school, but graduate as well. And then when I got to graduate school was when I realized that I wanted to actually work with different populations.
And I want to go to that. So,
yeah,
you know, you did, you know, you played soccer, was so established as a soccer player. And I happened to take a loving to it. I grew up in the 60s where we played baseball. We didn't play soccer much. As American kids. But, you know, my kids, of course, soccer was central to their growing up, both of my sons. And they had good training. You know, talk about the training that, you know, some people can or can't get. You know, we were lucky enough to be on Long Island when the Rough Riders were playing. Our trainers were like Paul Riley and Tony Miola and Giovanni Savarizzi. These were all our trainers, you know. So it was amazing because these are world-class soccer players. Training Absolutely. Our kids at the time, but you were returned to school to complete your master's degree in exercise physiology at Adelphi University.
Yes.
And if I may digress again, this is where it gets even more strange, folks, because after I had already been diagnosed with congestive heart failure and a low ejection fraction by my then cardiologist, I ended up signing off for a supervised exercise program at Adelphi University, where one of my exercise physiologists is none other than Lulu, my esteemed guest today, which is where I first met you, right?
Absolutely. That's when we first met. I mean, it was like a kind of an instant click between, because your wife was there as well.
Yeah.
She's the nicest person.
Oh, thank you. I'll tell you, said so. She'll hear it. So.
And no, it was so good to always talk to you guys. But yeah, that's when we first met. And It was a coincidence. I mean, I then found out that your son was Jesse, and it was like we kind of all connected the dots, and we were like, "Wow!" So it was so cool to meet you there and start to follow your journey from that point on. Yeah,
absolutely. So tell us about cardiac rehabilitation and the importance of what you term a multidisciplinary approach.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. So to kind of give you a definition of cardiac rehab, it's essentially just a medically supervised program that is designed to improve your cardiovascular health, right? If you have experienced a heart attack, if you have heart failure, if you've had some sort of stent or valve replacement, or any other type of surgery, there's usually about seven or so diagnoses that qualify you to be in cardiac rehabilitation. And so the cardiac rehab within itself has three equally important parts, which is the exercise counseling and training, which is obviously about getting your heart and your entire cardiovascular system to work and start to improve from that point. Then you have the education of a heart healthy living, which is such a key element because we think it's just about exercise, but in reality, our diet and understanding our risk factors is so vital to this whole journey. And the third is counseling to start to reduce stress, right? Stress is this like interesting thing that we can and cannot control. So stress starts to hurt your heart over time. And a lot of us know that and a lot of us don't. But this is also a part of cardiac rehab that helps you identify and tackle all those different everyday sources of stress. And we do our part. We're not certified psychologists or we're not certified nutritionists or anything like that, but we are people who have a very well-rounded understanding of the physiology that is connected to these other areas. So that is the best summary of cardiac rehab and that I can give you. And it really is a multidisciplinary thing because there's other people involved, like dietitians and doctors and
certainly
things like that.
And just so people don't misunderstand this, I know that during Lulu's time at Adelphi, you participated as a co-investigator in scientific publications and presentations. So this was serious stuff. I mean, this is not just about running and getting on a treadmill. These are, publications and studies that you are part of. Can you share a little bit about your role in those kind of studies?
Yeah, Adelphi is such a well-rounded program, the master's program that they have there, because the professors make sure that you have an understanding of every area possible when it comes to body composition, when it comes to the understanding of how to create a research study. So I knew nothing about any of those things when I first got to Adelphi. So getting a chance to be part of a research team with the other grad assistants that were part of the program was just a gift because, yes, it was hard. We had to find the subjects, right? The people that were going to be part of this study that had to be have specific characteristics to them. We had to then take those subjects and do 2, 3, 4, 5 or more studies on them individually. So it took a lot of time. There was a lot of time that was invested into this. And then of course, the investment of actual money, which thankfully Adelphi supports very well because we have a lot of amazing machinery. We have a lot of amazing things that help us make those studies happen. And then, of course, last part of that is writing it. When you start to write the part of what your findings are, is not that easy. It's you have to start to condense things. You have to do some math and start to put together some of the data using Excel. So it was very interesting to be part of all of and be able to actually have a few things actually come out in the ACSM journal, as well as the ACSM presentation that is done every single year, the annual presentation. So that was really just a cool journey to see from start to finish and how this is actually created and, from the start to the end.
It's amazing. What goes into the education of somebody like yourself who is now able to help so many people. It's so impressive. It's great. So you are moving forward in your career. You work not only as a class trainer, a soccer coach, a personal trainer, but then you get hired as a startup consultant for a virtual cardiac rehab company. And so I suppose that was in the face of COVID-19, obviously. Share a little about that transition you made, this new role, and who of us can benefit or even qualify to receive the type of training that you offer now.
Yeah, that was a really cool experience as well. And yes, I got in communication with a guy who was one of the co-founders of this company, and he found me actually. And he wanted to just have someone start to consult them a little bit more on the exercise part of things. And of course, especially someone who's had experience with cardiac rehab for so many years. So I really kind of connected with the relationship of what they were building right away, because I saw that it was possible to do, especially in the face of COVID-19, when unfortunately for us, for a few months, we could not interact with our patients. We had to do, when I'm working in the hospital setting, we had to do everything from home over the phone, and it was difficult. And so to have a company that wants to create and help people benefit from this from home was an idea that I thought was amazing. So unfortunately, only 15% of like eligible patients that start cardiac rehab in general, and only a fraction of these patients actually go on to complete a program. So that's where Recora Health came in, and they actually are now still in the process of creating the platforms and the different things and having different health insurances check off on this. So I believe the qualifications still stay the same in terms of what it takes to qualify for a cardiac program, which is to have some type of cardiac event within the last year or so. Hmm. And so that's a heart attack, stent, bypass, heart failure, stable angina, things like that. Mm-hmm. Seeing the other side of things and, you know, potentially what the future can hold for cardiac rehab was a good insight, because I believe in it. I believe that every patient who is going through something cardiovascularly wise needs this. They need some type of program to help them get back to feeling like themselves, and not feeling like their heart is no longer able to sustain what it did before.
And the things you do, you know, hope is a great word. You mentioned, I can tell you because I was there, you know, in the depths of it, and you don't have a lot of hope at one point. But when you get exposed to somebody who can lift you up and make you feel better and get your body working and doing the things that you dreamed of doing again, it's such a great thing to have people like you. And again, in the face of a pandemic, finding ways to make that happen, you know, that are not necessarily in person.
Absolutely. And even now, like to this day, a lot of cardiac rehab facilities from the hospital setting started to integrate hybrid programs, which were half from virtual and half from in person. So I got the honor to obviously work at a hospital setting, and then the consulting stuff is on the side, and just really seeing what what the future holds is interesting.
Yeah. And so programs such as yours, can it benefit the patients in the long run? Can they continue well after their operations to continue to do these things with you?
So that is our goal, right? Our goal for every single patient that comes in to see us is to have them do exercise long-term. Exercise and lifestyle modifications isn't something that happens in 3 or 4 months. It's something that the person needs to know right away that this is something for their entire, they should sustain for the rest of their life. So while they're in the program, we find ways to create new habits, healthy habits. We also find ways to make it a sustainable lifestyle so that if they are a busy professional or if they are somebody who's in retirement, how can they continue this activity after they finish with rehab? So we have each patient with us for a maximum of 36 sessions. And that seems to be the general standard across a lot of different states because of the insurance companies. Does everyone complete 36 sessions? No. If you're prepared and you feel ready by session 12 or 24, then from there, we get you prepared to be discharged at that point. But we always, right from the start, make sure the patient knows that our long-term goal with them is for them to continue exercising, to continue those healthy habits, because that is what is going to keep the heart healthy long-term, so they can continue to live a good quality of life without having to, you know, struggle on a daily basis.
Wow. I'm sorry. I cannot believe all that you've accomplished in your young life. And most recently, so you began working at NYU Langone Health again as a cardiac rehabilitation specialist?
I have been working with them for almost 5 years now. Yeah. Right. And the consulting stuff is just something that I do every so often whenever they need me. So I only probably work with them a few hours a month.
Yeah. Well, it matters that don't say just, cause it all counts. You know, you're doing so many things for a reason. Not everybody can take on what you've taken on. Can you tell me like a success story about an individual that you've worked with? You can just use their first name. You don't have to use their last name, who might say is recovering from heart surgery with regard to exercise or anything else you'd like to share.
Yeah. Oh man. I have, one that you're going to like because I'm sure it might hit close to home. So I won't say her first name, HIPAA violation.
Yes, I warned you ahead of time, but you knew already.
I'll make up a name. So let's call her Jenny. So Jenny was a patient that I had when she came into us when she had heart failure and also kidney failure. And so, you know, she was doing everything possible to stay alive, to feel good on a day-to-day basis, and to just try and live a normal life. And it was very difficult. When she finished with us in rehab, her health continued to decline even more, you know, even though she was trying to maintain the healthy habits and exercise and everything like that. And so about, I think it was a few months or maybe about a year later, we found out that she was coming back to us and it was going to be post heart transplant and kidney transplant. And so we got the chance to see her again in our program after heart and kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is super unique because to have both of those things done together at the same time is not always the case. So she was just amazing because the struggles that she went through, her health has been declining for many, many years. And I believe she's still very young. She's only about 55 years old. And so, you know, Jenny just continued to fight. Even in moments where she felt that she really wanted to give up. And you might know this, but from hearing other people's story, Gary, but it's a hard fight. Sometimes, you know, this is a little bit deep, but you just want to give up and it's really difficult. And so to see her just every single day come in with such a positive attitude, with gratitude in her heart to know that she's able to live another day.
Yeah.
And then just now from there on, continue her journey with a new heart, with new kidney, and to start to feel better and hopefully start to do some of the things she likes. You know, one thing that she mentioned she wanted to really get back to doing was something so simple was walking dogs and also riding a bicycle and the things that we take advantage of every single day. But yeah, that's one of the cases that we saw just recently. And it's amazing because the progression that she made this time around with us now after the heart transplant was significantly different from start to finish. She was barely able to walk 5 minutes on the treadmill in the beginning of after she got her heart transplant. And we led her to now being able to walk 20 minutes or so, taking breaks, doing about a total of 45 minutes of work, wow. starting a weight training program. It was really, really cool just to see the journey. And yeah, and she's thriving now and she's continuing to get better and better.
Yeah. And just so everybody knows, even, you know, people like myself who've, you know, come a long way and our attitude is good. We were at a point, anybody who's gone through anything like LVAD surgery, kidney transplant, heart transplant, does find a place at one point or another where you do want to give up. So I understand that part of it. But, you know, again, with the support of people like you, that's the reason that we can recover and recover well from being in the depths of it at one point. So, yeah, it's an incredible service that you have provided and all the knowledge that you have, but more the heart that you have to put into this, which is basically, you know, it's your purpose in life. And we can all hear that.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great to just know you. It's been such a great honor to have you as a guest on The Heart of the Matter. And folks, Lulu is an example of someone still in their 20s, of a person who continues to adapt and find ways to positively contribute to our global health and heart community. And on behalf of myself and our listeners, I thank you so much for all that you've done for our community on Long Island and the global community with your incredible dedication to your work and for sharing this time with us. I hope we could do this again soon.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Gary. Thank you so much again for having me as a guest. And thank you for the platform that you're building for other people to take a chance to listen and to learn and to continue to grow. And
I'm learning as much as everybody else, so I'm glad I'm doing it too. It's beneficial for everybody. So we're definitely going to have you back again. This was great, and thank you for your time. That is pretty much our podcast for today, unfortunately. Please join me, Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit our website at www.drheart2heart.net for upcoming podcasts, or if you would like me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter podcast, please email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. Our podcast can be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and until next time, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, wishing you peace and hope.